indicates Alfred Thurman, this wasn't necessarily a progressive movement from the particular to the universal. I don't feel that Thurman ever felt like he stepped out of the particular into the universal. But I believe Thurman always felt that it was a matter of understanding how that particular was very much a part of his experience of the universal. It was an affirmation, a confirmation of the universal. So in some ways, I'm a bit uncomfortable with the notion of Thurman having a kind of progressive spirituality. I think he found new ways to articulate what he had felt since childhood. And I wouldn't say that he felt the experience necessarily became enhanced as an adult. But I think he gained some new insights on the nature of that experience rather than the progressive spirituality. The other thing I would say is that I think for Thurman, one never had the sense of his abandoning his blackness. In all of the sermons I've heard, or in many of the sermons I've heard, Thurman is continually affirming that he is a black man. That's not the only thing he's affirming, but one has to deal with the fact that he's a black man. And in fact, he relates an incident at Boston University where in a sermon he used the term someone called him a zigaboo. And it was interesting because of the mentioned that in his sermon, he said it was the black students at Boston who came to him feeling that he in some way had embarrassed them by using that phrase, that someone had called him a zigaboo. And Thurman's response to that is that the materials of his life must always be available in what he does. So this is Thurman's style, the autobiographical, the introspection. And with that introspection, the blackness was always there. I think the sense of injustice and the sense of oppression. And as you read Thurman, and especially the meditations right in front of his, the book that's his prayers from Boston University. Well, in those, you hear the prayers talking about what's going on in Little Rock, Arkansas, and what's going on in various other social circumstances around the world, but especially in the black world. And Thurman, the thing I admire about Thurman is that his spirituality is always wrestling with the question of what does it mean to live out this religious knowledge in the world. It's never the sense of religious knowledge for experience sake. You never hear Thurman at some distance talking about experiencing God and that's it. But for Thurman, it's the kind of mysticism which is asking the question, what does the religious insight mean in terms of relationship? And one thing I appreciate about Thurman is that he asks the social order questions, although I don't think he's a real technician of the social order question. He doesn't even attempt to lay out a platform, but I think becomes very suggestive in terms of spiritual implications. The last thing I'd want to relate is, this was related to me by Mrs. Thurman and some others, is that when Thurman was dying, the first time he was dying, before he recovered for a few days. Evidently, his mind was going in a lot of directions, and he was relating incidents. He evidently was having conversations with his grandmother and mother and other people who had long since died. But one of the things that happened was this incredible conversation began between particular man and universal man. And with this image, with this vision, this conversation went long into the night and for hours. And finally, for Thurman, universal man, or particular man, gave his consent that universal man could join him. And they melded together. Not melted, but melded together, which is an interesting use of the term. So that particular man did not lose his particularity. Universal man did not lose the sense of being universal. They melded together. And it connotes several things for me. One is that for Thurman, this universal in particular was never something, well, I don't have the impression that it was something resolved for him, but it was a struggle that he carried on to his deathbed, and perhaps on his deathbed, finally had some sense of resolution about it. He had lived longer, who knows what else he would have come up with. But I think one of the things we need to explore in looking at Thurman is not just the sense in which he comes up with answers, but the way in which he engages the problems and feeling the integrity of the question mark, but also, I think, the way in which he senses that trusting God is enough to engage the questions with a question mark. Thing you were saying, Charles, about not needing to come up with an answer. In fact, God was the answer, but he could live with the uncertainty, and which makes him, I think, a much harder figure to deal with rather than one who is giving the solution. A lot of people don't like the idea of journey and pilgrimage, which I think were very much the hallmark of what they're moving from.
You know, it's 10 o'clock, and this thing could go on and on because, you know, we open a big bag of worms here, and there's John, and then there's Peter, and then they say something, somebody else is going to say something, and so on. So I think we ought to just cut it off. Everybody's invited up to 901. We can carry this conversation on under other offices and other circumstances and so on. But for the sake of some kind of order, maybe we ought to cut the meeting off. But John still got his hand up. So
yeah, I don't want to.
You have something now, so
yeah,
go ahead.
I wanted to make
go ahead.
Now,
right. Well, go ahead, John.
That I presume that everyone in the society knows that the Howard Thurman papers are now at Boston University.
Oh.
I just want to make that announcement. So we are the proud recipients of the Howard Thurman papers, which are now being made available.
Are they cataloged and everything now?
I beg your pardon.
Are they cataloged and archival?
Well, Mrs. Thurman and the trustees have just, they are there at Boston University, and other pieces are coming
in. I see.
Mm-hmm. But I would guess Mr. Gottlieb has said that within approximately a year, it takes some time to get.
Yes.
But my own students and some others are already using the Thurman papers.
Has the trust been dissolved?
Not to my knowledge. But I should also announce that the trust itself is moving. I hope I'm not talking out of school, but I think that is a plan to, I think.
Peter, do you have such a statement to make?
We're
not going by that to disperse this thing.
No, I know.
Okay,
I just wanted to relate the first one.
Here. Go ahead.
I first knew Howard Thurman in Canada. He came regularly to St. James Street United Church of Canada in Montreal at Easter time for many years to give a week period of Lenten services. And I wanted simply to... And then I went and talked with him when I was trying to decide where to study in the United States and to get some, because I was so impressed with him. And I was so surprised at one thing that he said to me, because I had him in this very lofty, sort of universalist kind of sphere, and then he said something very mundane. And he said that when the institutions offer you money to come to study, take that very seriously and never feel indebted, but always consider it as back payment.
I had my hand up to relate one thing. I was present at his I was present at his wedding when he married Sue Bailey. But the other thing is that I was one of two persons who were being groomed to go with Howard Thurman to India. I missed out on it, and Margaret Bush Wilson was the one who went, although I was the only major in religion at Talladega at that time, and she wasn't in that pill. But every time I've ever been encountered in the encounter with Howard and Sue, I found them to be different people. There were many, many faces and many, many persons. I was going to ask Mozzella, was his graduation from Colgate Rochester any influence on your having gone there?
No,
He didn't even know it. Okay.
I'm going to announce real quick because I'm going to call on the treasurer because he probably has an announcement. And then after that, I'll ask the secretary if they have that thing. He has that thing. So I think that would cut off any high-level discussion.
Right, right, yeah.
Well,
speaking of high-level, the president has a suite on the top floor of this place, and I want to emphasize his invitation to you. We want to use up some of all this long dough we paid for the suite, so come on up.
I can only sleep in one room.
It is a rather palatial kind of layout. I think most of you have seen it already, and we do hope that you will come up and take advantage of it. We have only for one night, and then they're going to kick him out and the rest of us. So please come up. Please come up and bring your checkbooks with you so that we might settle up. I'll be here at the door for a little while after we leave as you pass by. For those who make it by there, please come up to 901 and take advantage of that place and bring your money with you. The dues are $35 for the year, and if you owe back dues, we take those too. And if you haven't paid for tonight, it's $15.50. So if you're paying for both, it's $50.50 for this year, and whatever else you might owe from the past.
Well, I want to officially close the meeting for the evening by thanking Mozilla. And